Let us rise up to worship of the Lord our God through His Word, because we've worshiped already through this morning. And see what God would have us learn this morning. Learn? Oh, every time I open God's Word, I learn something. He speaks to me in the night. He speaks to me and tells me sometimes, go open your Bible. I want to show you something. Boy, that thrills my heart, because I sure do need to learn some things. And since He's the one that had it written through His prophets of old by the inspiration, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's for us today. So turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10, and verse 2 to begin with. I love the red letters when Jesus is doing the talking. Of course, when He spoke to Jeremiah, when He spoke to the other prophets, it was Him also through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But then when Jesus says directly what we call this red letter edition, so that's what we're going to look at this morning in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Jesus doing the speaking. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers to His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. For I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazana! Woe unto them, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that judgment than for you. And thy Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Be that he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Boy, didn't he wrap it all up? Preachers and lay people and witnesses and gospel singers and those that live godly in Christ Jesus are hated by the world. He gave mighty good instructions how to react to it, didn't he? And all we have to do is follow directions, simple directions. But then he noticed some things in the scripture I want to look at. Let's look back at chapter 11, from whence we'll take the text this morning. He says, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this. Here's the text. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. If men won't repent, and many are not repenting, it's not because the gospel has not been preached. It's not because the gospel has been presented. It has come nigh. And Jesus told the 12 that was going out preaching, he's telling you, he's telling me, as we go out and witness, he tells us what to do if they accept it. Say, peace be unto you. And if they reject it, what more can you do? Let God deal with it. And then he tells them, those that will not receive and those that reject, even though Sodom has a great destruction that came upon them. He said it would be more tolerable for them in the days of judgment than for Sodom, because they have rejected. See, the Sodomites of those days didn't have all the great preaching. They had Lot, but he seemed like he was so content in the city, though his righteous soul was vexed daily. It seems as though he didn't do a lot of witnessing to them, but yet they faced judgment. But he's letting us know how much more are those people today, in this day and time and all through history, that's heard the gospel, it's been presented, it's been shown that Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world. We sang about it this morning, testified about that this morning, and they rejected it. God will deal with it. So let's turn the Bibles back to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. He talks about Sodom. And we know their destruction. And he said, in the day of judgment, be more tolerable for them, even though it's bad because they got burned up by the fire. But what about the people that's rejecting today? In the day of judgment, they'll have even more condemnation. Let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, and see what he's talking about when he talks about, introduces those people of Sodom. Verse 1 says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." A few months ago, I used that verse to preach a message, and I emphasized that word gate and went through the Bible how that word gate can be implemented and be shown. Every word in the Bible is so important. But let's keep reading. I'm not going to reiterate that message. God has given me something else. "And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." See, these two angels were sent from God. They'd been told Abram just a chapter before about their purpose. And Lot has invited these two from a different country, these two angels, in this house. And they said, No, we're not going. I don't understand that. So we're going to dwell in the streets. It wasn't met with a lot of favoritism. "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said to him, Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." As I was reading this and studying this for a long while, the Lord kept burdening me and showing me there's something about that door. Read that verse together, the last verse that we read, and we'll dwell on that verse and a little more this morning. Verse 6. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." Let's look at that. Remember, we're talking about this morning about the gospel that's presented to the world. And as the world receives it not, he said, "One thing you'll know, the kingdom has come nigh unto you." You see, those two angels came down there, and the men of the city didn't want any part of it. They wanted to take them and have an affair with them also. But Lot now, the righteous one, his soul was at least righteous, we're told that. And then we'll look at the first time. There's something mighty important about the first mention of any word. And this is not the first mention of door, but we'll go through that this morning. The first seven times God mentions door, and look at the lesson he's going to give us. First of all, let's look at the very first time he uses door in the Word of God. Now remember, you can't go through and look at the English word door, because the Bible wasn't written in English. The Bible was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament was, because it was the language of the world. It was not just to the English-speaking people. It was to the whole world. So if you want to do the first mention, it's when God mentioned it. And so we're going to go through that this morning. The first seven times God mentions this Hebrew word for door. It's spelled P-E-T-H-A-C-H, pentath. And it means an opening or a gate. It means an entering in. That's what the word means. So let's look at the text in chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 7, first time he mentions it. Now, the first time he mentions it is interesting, because the first mention of the word door and entering in is a result of sin. It was sin that Cain killed Abel in Genesis 4, verse 7. If I doeth well, God doing the speaking, shall thou not be accepted? And if I doeth not well, sin lieth at the door. Entered in. You refused the blood offering, Cain. You went and wanted to offer me works of your hand. And when you wouldn't obey me, sin entered the door of your heart. The result of sin. First mention of this word. Let's read a couple of verses before that. But unto Cain and to his offering, verse 5, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if I doeth well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doeth not well, sin lieth at the door. And to thee shall be his desire, and thou shall rule over him. Why did he mention it? Results of sin. Why did the men of Sodom end up like they were? Result of sin. Why? Because the text verse says they would not accept, and God had offered his grace to them. He offered his grace to Cain. He knew God's plan. It's blood offering. Without the blood offering, there is no sacrifice for sin. Adam and Eve sinned. That was apparent. So therefore they inherited that sin nature. And may I remind you that since Eve is the mother of all living, and we all came from Adam's loins, then you and I have inherited the sin offering. It entered into our heart, our being at birth, because we were made and we were shaped after the image, first of all, of man. So let's proceed together and see how God deals with this. Oh, it won't be a problem for God. He's got everything under control. His word is so interesting to me as he kept emphasizing me. Look at this word door. I want to show you something. It's a pattern. The second time he mentions it is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16. He says, oh, there was sin in the world, but thank God there is a refuge for the suffering of this world. It deals with Noah and the ark. Remember when several years later, when God looked upon man, and everywhere imagination of the heart was wicked. Sin had entered into their hearts. But God has a refuge for all the sin sufferings of the world. Let's read it together in verse 16 of chapter 6. A window shall thou make in the ark, and in the cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door, that entering in place, that's your word, second time he mentions it, of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shall thou make it. Sin entered the hearts of people, but Christ Jesus hung on the old cruel cross. His side was risen. The door was in the side, don't you see? It was an entering in place. As we looked last Sunday, and Brother Gunn alluded to it last Sunday night, and my message Sunday morning was about the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we saw the church. We saw Christ Jesus hanging on the cross to shed the blood. Man won't accept it, but God's already paid the sin debt. How did he do that? Because he gave his life a ransom for our sin. And it's a picture now as the ark, as Noah and his family entered in. The picture of you and I entering into the haven of rest through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The shed blood through his side, from his brows. But thank God he has given us refuge from all the sin and all the suffering for those that will enter in, of course. But if those that don't, remember that the opportunity has been given you. And he said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for anyone that rejects the kingdom of God now. Let's look at the third time. Remember, three is God's perfect number. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 18, verse 1. We're going to look now, the next time you mention it, it's about reconciliation. God wants to reconcile. We've already got a picture of it, of Noah entering into the ark, and us entering into the through the blood of Jesus Christ into life everlasting. But now in Genesis 18, 1, third mention, and the Lord appeared to him, talking about Abraham. He had shown up to Abraham, and Abraham, remember, chosen of God. And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Here Abraham was, a perfect picture now of God on his throne. And he's just waiting for those. The gospel is being hurled. The gospel is being preached. Christ Jesus shed his blood. The sin death has been paid. Cain and many others have refused that. And the results of sin was that man was going to die without God. But there was a refuge from the suffering if we'd only enter in through the veil, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And now there is that reconciliation. There he is sitting at the tent door. Remember the tent door, the opening, a place of entering. And God has said, because of Christ Jesus, I came to reconcile. Yes, you were born in shaping in iniquity. Everyone was from Adam's race. But I want to be the one that's reconciled. Beautiful picture here. Third time he mentions it. But let's look at the fourth time, and then we'll go through the seventh, Lord willing. Look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 2, very next verse. There is that offering of reconciliation. Well, now we see redemption. And there's redemption only through the blood of Jesus. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Remember, when we accept that reconciliation and we accept the fact that we are sinners, but he died for our sins, then we're offered redemption. And when we're offered that and we say all that Christ did at Calvary, we bow on our knees and say, holy, holy, holy Lord God. We're sinners. We're unclean. But through the blood of Jesus, we can be made clean. And he bowed himself to the ground, which represents humility, brokenness. Unless we're broken over our sins, convention today in the world is not very tolerable for the blood. The blood line through the page of God's word is not reverenced by most people. But there's still redemption through the blood. And when conviction takes place in the human heart, and when that redemption is shown to us that we can have it, then that brokenness is occurring. And because he convicts of our sins, we're broken, we're humility before God, and we bow before him, and we ask forgiveness. Four times he's mentioned it so far, but I'm really interested in the fifth, because five is a number of grace. Isn't it interesting how God just paints pictures all through the Word of God? It's all about His Son Jesus all the way through. Well, let's turn your Bibles to Genesis 18:10. We've seen all these other things, but now, because of the reconciliation and because of Him being willing to get forgiveness of His sins, we're going to see that the Redeemer is going to be offered. Look what He says, 18:10. And He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Through this son Isaac is going to come the loins of Jesus Christ. And now we've seen a picture, a portrait, if you will, of the Redeemer. Because Abraham, remember, he said to Abram, if you'll leave this God-forsaken country, they had forsaken God, and go to a land that I'll show you, I'll make of thee a great and mighty nation. And that greatness was not because of Abraham or his son Isaac. It was because of their loins that Jesus Christ the Redeemer was going to come. So now, fifthly, and the number of grace, we have seen the Redeemer will be provided through the loins of Isaac. Sarah didn't want to accept it. She didn't believe it. And the world today, I've witnessed the people on the streets, even in Hendersonville and others, and older people sometimes, and they say, it's just too simple. I know you say, if you'll just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I can believe that, but do you want me to believe that if I would just bow and accept Him, confess my sins, I'll have eternal life? They say, that's too simple. God makes the simple things of life. The profound things that God had to do to make it possible. And all we have to do is simply believe that a Redeemer is going to be provided. Look how He's painting the picture. But six represents a number of man, doesn't it? Well, we've already read that. And let's read again. Genesis chapter 19, verse 6. Recompense or restitution or the cost. Because now, remember, there are two angels were to Lot, and they were going to stay on the street, but Lot begs them to come into his house. Let's read verse 6 together. Look at the recompense. And Lot went out at the door to them and shut the door after him. And a lot of people do that. They just shut that door. They don't want any part of that recompense. It's too costly. Too costly for me, they say. If he even can believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, what would it cost me? I'd have to allow Him to change my life. I couldn't go where I used to go. I couldn't do the things I used to do. The old sin nature would be eradicated. Now, that's right. But you have to shut the door on that, don't you see? And the number six, remember, relates to the number of man. Man is sinful in every regard. And man rejects. And man doesn't want to come to grips with the fact that we're going to die and leave this world. And there's only two places to go, either to heaven through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, or we'll go to eternal hell. You really don't have to do anything to do that. You just go in the way you were born to go and just keep on going. But remember, we've seen that Christ Jesus has been promised and Christ Jesus came. Well, let's look at the seventh one. Seventh, of course, is the number of perfection. And that would be in Genesis chapter 19, verse 11. But the repentance that they needed was refused, just like it is by most of the world today. Look at the 11th verse. Now the angels are with Lot. Lot has gone out. They have come into the house, and the men are on every side of the house. All the men of the city, they said, trying to get those two men. If I have time this morning, I'll go farther and look at some awful tragedies, but now look at the repentance she refused. And finally, the angels had to step in to protect Lot. Of course, they're going to protect herself because they're angels. Verse 11 says, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Look what happens when people refuse repentance. God pricks their heart. Conviction comes and shows them that they're lost. And they're on their way to the devil's hell. And they reject it. What happens when you keep on rejecting? And you keep on rejecting? And you keep saying, "No, God." He'll smite you with blindness that you cannot see spiritually. He'll take that conviction away. I know people that would give anything if they could go back to that night, that day that they said no to God one last time. And now many years have passed and they still go to church. And they're waiting for another time, hopefully, that conviction will come to them. You can't get to God without brokenness. You can't get to God unless you get convicted of your sins. And just because you have a head belief of it now, no, you don't get saved when you want to. And now the seventh time is God's perfecting thing is, "I will not, my spirit will not always strive with man." But now we've seen the perfect picture those seven times. Let's keep reading. Let's go back in Genesis chapter 19. And we got down through verse 8. "Behold, now I have two daughters." Oh, this is so sad. Verse 7. "And said, I pray thee, brethren, do not so wickedly." These men are angels. They didn't understand that. Wicked men with blindness that God has given don't see things. But Lot knew because he had a righteous soul. "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." It's almost unthinkable that a person could get to try to keep them from touching God's anointed, God's servants, that he would offer his own two loving daughters to these men to do whatever they wanted to with. He would sacrifice his two daughters because he knew that the things of God were even more important than that. Can you imagine what Lot was having to go through? Why did all this happen? Because he, the previous day, had looked upon the plains and the beautiful, well-watered valleys. And they looked at the things of the world, and when it came to choosing what God had to offer Abram or him, and Abram said, "You pick first." And he didn't look at the things of God. He only looked at the worldly appetites. And so he reared his family in that awful place. The first verse said is, he was in the gate. That means a place inside the city. It means he's probably one of the judges there, long resident there. But how do you judge sin? God judges sin. And now these people were going to completely push a door down, and they had to be stricken blind. But once they were stricken blind, repentance refused, no more opportunity whatsoever. And you know the story, judgment fell and judgment came. But now let's look at a couple more verses. And they said, verse 9, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Interesting. not the same word door as before, and I will not have time to indulge in that, but a different Hebrew word altogether for door. We've looked at the first seven times God used door, paints a beautiful picture of God's salvation offered, man's rejection, the consequences thereof. Lord willing, that the future day I'll be able to look at this new terminology, door. But this morning I want to look at one more thing before we close. It's such a beautiful picture that God paints for us. He is so timely in everything he does. God's word is so perfect. I just want to read one more verse. Exodus chapter 21, verse 6, about that door. Then his master shall bring unto him the judges. He shall also bring to him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through an awl, and he shall serve for him. Wish I had time to go into that. But a whole new adventure now of another word God uses. Remember, all completely. God's opened the door, man rejected. We won't have time to reiterate anything, but we see the sadness of Lot. And now the angels are going to escort Lot and his two daughters and his wife safely out of the city because judgment is going to come. It seems as they didn't want to go. They had to be taken and they had to be pulled out of the city. And you would ask the question, it's a good question. Well, why would he not just, if they want to stay, let them stay? Oh, salvation is perfect, don't you remember? If they were saved, and obviously they were, it's permanent. You can't reverse it. Judgment is not going to come to those people that's already been redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were led safely out of the city. We know Lot's wife turned and looked back. She was turned to a pillar of salt. Would you stand this morning, Lord, to help me stop the message right here? But he had to lead them out. Randy got a song the Lord put on your heart. Because they were so tied up in the production and the things that was going on in Sodom, particularly the two girls. Now, it seems as they were already married. There's two theories on that. Because in those days, they had a marriage contract before they came together. They had not been with men yet, the Bible says. But yet they could have been married by contract to the two son-in-laws, Adam's son-in-laws. Or the next thing is, and the Bible doesn't say it, don't really matter, that he had other daughters in the city, and they had son-in-laws. And that, I really believe that because they went out and tried to get these other two son-in-laws, which would have been rulers of their house, to say, hey, the city's going to be destroyed. Get you out of here, and they would have nothing to do with it, which means they were lost either way. But the question of you and I this morning is here. The gospel has been presented. Christ has shed his blood. We're going to one of these days in this life on planet Earth. But where will be the next place we're going to dwell? Only two. If you're saved, you're going to be safely escorted to a place called heaven. If you're lost, well, keep on going that broad road and end up in the devil's hell. And the choice is up to us. But remember what the text verse says. Read it one more time. The text verse says, the kingdom of God, be sure of this, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You can't stay in hell if you're here this morning or if you're watching by internet or listening on the radio and say, I didn't understand. The scripture says the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Will you reject it or will you claim it? Your choice. Would you sing? Altar is open. Again, we appreciate all the Lord's doing in their hearts this day and time. I know it's a sad time, but most important time of our life, because we're drawing nigh to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day's a little bit closer. Isn't that exciting? A lot of the people we know is not saved. That's discouraging. But the exciting part is we could, by His help, do something to lead them to salvation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's why He left us here for. Again, it's good to have the visitors with us this morning. And if you will, that visitor card, put an offering plate back there as you're leaving. And the offering plate is there for your tithes and offering as we leave. We don't pass a plate for all the other reasons that we know today. But we thank you for being here. Come back tonight. Any other announcements?